Chapter 29
"Wait!" cried Isola. "What's that?"
Drake peered through the dust. A familiar shape bounded past a guardsman, dodging shots and landslides, racing towards the sphere. Grek moved with incredible speed, hurdled the ledge and crashed down beside Drake, breathing heavily but otherwise looking exactly as he did when they had first met in the Skeens. Corval stepped between them, his pistol pointed at Grek. The navigator had been trembling and convulsing since Drake helped him from the fissure. His hand was shaking so badly, it looked like he might shoot the Kroot even if he didn't intend to.
"Wait,"
said Drake, placing his hand over the barrel of Corval's pistol. He stared at the navigator.
"We have both been wrong about many things. Maybe we were wrong about this too."
Corval shook his head and lowered the pistol.
"They're charging," cried Vaughn, unleashing another wall of flame.
Isola and Ordus rushed to her side, adding their shots to hers, but Drake and Corval continued looking at Grek.
"How did you find us?"
asked Drake, shouting to be heard over the deafening sphere.
"The Black Stone. It led me to you," said Grek.
Drake shook his head. He was no longer prepared to dismiss the creature's outlandish claims. They no longer even seemed outlandish. But he could not understand how Grek had navigated such complex, ever-changing routes and arrived here just as the rest of them had.
"Did you see visions like the priests?"
Grek clicked and whistled, looking around, clearly made uncomfortable by the questions.
"No," he said. "I am not like you or the priests. I see a different truth. I gain insights."
He grabbed one of the insect cages strung across his chest, whispering an oath.
"But I cannot."
He seemed pained even saying this much.
"We do not share our secrets."
Shots landed on the ruins behind them, filling the air with more dust and shards. When the air cleared, Drake studied Grek. The creature was wearing the same calm expression he had been intrigued by before. Drake finally recognized what it was. Nobility. Not the contrived, conspicuous nobility of his father and all those powdered aristocrats on Terra, but a quiet, unspoken nobility of spirit.
"I understand,"
he replied, ashamed to think how badly he had misjudged the creature. He had already thought about Grek's strange behaviour, his seemingly barbaric need to consume and taste, and began to form an idea of the creature's methods. But he would let Grek keep his secrets.
"When we met, I swore to let you help me," he said. "I would be honoured to continue our partnership."
The fighting was growing fiercer, and Corval had to turn away to join the others, firing into the wall of guardsmen. Grek ignored the lasfire, still staring at Drake.
"I..."
He hesitated, shaking his head, causing his crest of quills to rattle around his long, hawk-like head.
"The Blackstone brought us together."
Drake turned and looked up at the sphere.
"Have your insights told you how we can enter?"
Grek nodded, holding up the scythe he took from Belosis.
"This comes from the same mines as the Blackstone. It can form and reform anything."
He looked up at the sphere.
"Even this."
"There's a way in,"
bellowed Thaddeus, wading towards them, sweat pouring from his face and his cheeks blazing red. He looked from Drake to Grek, frowning.
"What did the alien say?"
Drake looked at Grek. Grek was still looking at the sphere.
"There are gaps. If I reach one, I can cut."
Thaddeus stared at the scythe, noticing it for the first time. He flicked frantically through the pages of his journal, then held it open towards them. Among the columns of tightly packed script and scenes of fiery revelation, there was a drawing of a scythe, very similar to the one Grek was holding.
"I have seen this,"
cried Thaddeus, as if he were addressing a congregation.
12 years ago. I drew this picture 12 years ago from a dream. The God Emperor is with us, friends. He was with me then, and he is with me now.
It wasn't made by your Emperor, said Grek. It is thee.
No time, interrupted Drake. We have to move. The guardsmen had crested the wall. The fight had descended into a hand-to-hand frenzy. Ordis was alternating between shooting her pistol and using it as a club. Corval was bludgeoning guardsmen with his cane, trailing sparks of energy from its gemstone head. Vaughn had unslung a chainsword from her back and turned the air crimson, cutting soldiers down with a torrent of howled prayers. Grek nodded and bounded away from them, reaching out into the ball of light, sampling its ferocity, plunging and withdrawing his hand, trailing tendrils of energy. Dozens more guardsmen poured over the breach. Vaughn fell to her knees, slashing her chainsword from side to side as the others staggered backwards towards the light.
Grek!
Howled Drake, drawing his rapier and leaping into the fray, triggering the blade's power cell and decapitating a guardsman.
Here!
Cried the Kroot, rushing into the light, the scythe held over his head.
Now!
They turned and sprinted after him, plunging into the wall of light. Drake saw Grek's silhouette in the blaze, swinging the scythe. Then he was gone, replaced by a vivid column of blackness. Drake had a moment of doubt, but it was too late to stop. The black rectangle rushed forwards, engulfing him. Then, silence. Pure nothingness. Drake could neither see nor hear anything. Then, up ahead, he saw a shimmer of flame. It grew quickly larger and brighter, rushing towards him, as the black rectangle had done. As the light enveloped Drake, he heard a loud tearing sound, as though the air itself was being ripped open. He stumbled forwards, feeling ground beneath his feet. Then the world flooded back into view. But it was not the world he expected. For what seemed like days, all he had seen were harsh geometric angles, grey-black polyhedrons, all wrought of the same cold, featureless ore. But now, he found himself in an explosion of colour and growth. Towering clouds of flies crossed a mustard-yellow sky, drifting over hazy, stagnant pools and swarming through drooping, wet fronds. The plants were bulbous, pitted hulks. It was a landslide of polyps and tumour sacs, all of them spewing spores and veined with lights. It was a carnival of grotesque shapes, an explosion of eye-watering colour, made all the more shocking by the monochromatic bleakness that had come before. He only had a moment to take all this in. The head-splitting tearing grew louder, and a cold blast washed over the back of his head. Dull black columns rushed overhead from behind him, smashing in through the opening Grek had cut, tearing it wider, and allowing the violence outside to finally break into the sphere. Drake and the others dropped to their knees, cradling their heads as arms of darkness roared past, smashing into the fungal garden. Spore sacs detonated, sponges ripped and tumours popped. The blackstone was skewering the garden with a rain of black spears. The ripping sound grew louder, and Drake clamped his hand over his ears, trying to block it out. The others were just as overcome, falling into the wet, pulpy moss. Red, viscous mud oozed up from the turf as Drake sank into it, howling incoherently.
Drake!
Cried someone nearby, barely audible over the din. It was Isola. Dragging herself through the slop, her face twisted in pain, she was pointing to something up ahead. He turned to see a shape rushing towards him. It looked like an insect, but grotesquely enlarged to the height of a man. It was clad in a plated carapace, and it was scuttling across the ground on 6 twitching legs. There was a human face sunk deep into its abdomen, pale and grinning, laughing hysterically. Drake stood, firing through the whirling clouds. The needles thudded into the creature's shell, but showed no sign of stopping it. There was a flash of light over to the creature's left, and it stumbled, thrown off track, its legs scrambling furiously beneath its armored bulk. Grek lurched into view, gripping a smoking rifle. More columns ripped through the air, each bigger than the last. The canopy of leaves collapsed, dropping branches and pale, ugly cankers filling the air with spores. The black beams were all targeted at one specific point. It was hard to see clearly through the miasma, but Drake could just make out a pallid heap of flesh, like a vast labouring heart trying to rise and reach out, spawning limbs and mouths. The black spars smashed into it. All of the fortress's will was bent on its destruction. This was the malignant interloper the Blackstone was trying to repel. Drake felt sick as he tried to look at it. Even from here, half glimpsed through the spore clouds, he knew what it was. Such an abomination could only have come from one place. The warp. The insect creature near Drake stopped laughing. It turned away from Drake and tried to rush back towards the struggling heap of flesh. Drake saw his chance. He ran through the clouds of flies, drew his rapier, and leapt at the malformed creature. The monster saw him coming and raised a barbed limb, blocking his thrust, but Drake had depressed the rapier's power cell. Fire flashed down the blade and sheared through the limb. The face in the abdomen tried to speak, but its tongue was so mangled and stretched that it thrashed incoherently across the ground. The monster lunged, punching a taloned limb at Drake's chest. He parried, disengaged, and struck again, his movements as fluid and controlled as they had been in the training halls of the Drake Villa. Drake severed another limb, but as the monster staggered back, leaking black blood, it screeched a curse. Flame-bright pus spat from its eyes, blasting Drake from his feet and bathing his nerves in agony. He crashed onto his back, but as the pain threatened to send him into unconsciousness, the blast was interrupted. Corval strode forwards, his cane held before him, deflecting the monster's blast and surrounding the navigator in a wreath of hissing acid. The creature screamed, and more pus jolted from its head, emerging vomit-like from its gaping mouth. The acid punched into Corval's stomach and hurled him backwards. He ripped through the surface of a tree-sized puffball and vanished in a cloud of spores. Grek fired again, spinning the monster around. Isola rose from the acid-green slop, firing into the monster's face, causing it to stagger back. Vaughn was trying to haul Thaddeus from a seething pool, and Ordis had managed to stand, swaying like a drunk as she tried to reload her pistol. As Drake and the others battled with the insect creature, the Blackstone waged war on the Leviathan in the distance. The limbs of rock outside had taken the whole Grek cut and wrenched it into an opening like the gates of a city. It was now big enough to show the chamber outside the sphere. It was heaving and imploding, but the guardsmen were still shambling over the crooked slopes, rushing into the garden with their guns raised. Shots whined through the air. "Hold them back!" cried Drake, waving everyone back towards the guardsmen as he ran on towards the monster. They did as he ordered, halting the guardsmen with a blinding salvo, shredding their rotten flesh. Drake reached the insect monster and leapt, swinging his rapier and plunging it into the creature's face. The monster barely noticed, batting Drake aside and sending him flipping through the air. It loomed over him, swinging back to one of its limbs, like an axe preparing to behead him. Then it staggered, hit by dozens of shots. Order strode into view, covered in filth and spitting curses as she fired into the monster's face. It reeled from the impact, then steadied itself and clubbed her down, smashing her into a seething pool. Then it whirled around and gripped Drake with one of its claws, forcing him down into the scarlet mud. The monster pressed all of its weight down on him, and Drake sank beneath the mire, thick, bloody liquid rushing over his face. He thrashed and spluttered, but the creature was incredibly heavy, and its grip was unbreakable. Drake sank deeper, his lungs burning liquid, filling his mouth and nose. His struggles grew weaker, and darkness spread from the corner of his eyes, leaving only a blurred image of the monster's face, giggling as it held him under. Drake's consciousness faded. Rather than a rush of memories, or a final death-throes revelation, his thoughts settled on the last mechanical functions of his body, his heart slowing and failing, his fingers stiffening, coldness radiating from his chest. He was vaguely aware that the hysterical creature was reaching forwards, clutching a pale grub. As it came closer, he saw that it was a worm. The monster was holding it towards his chest. The worm was straining and uncoiling, stretching for him. Then a flame erupted from the shadows, bathing everything in light. Was this the afterlife? Was this the God Emperor calling him to the Golden Throne? The light grew brighter, and the monster's expression changed from glee to fear. Its face began to run and slide, like a painting washed away by rain. The iron-hard grip around Drake's arms loosened, and the monster fell back, dropping the worm into the mud. With a desperate effort, Drake shoved himself up, breaking the surface with a choking gasp. His oxygen-starved brain struggled to comprehend what he saw. The monster was staggering away from him, claws raised, its carapace dissolving in a beam of blue-white fire. Corval stumbled into view. Drake was seeing him from behind, but he could tell that he'd removed his helmet and dropped his weapons. His robes were torn and ragged, and he'd raised his arms as though in prayer. Livid, dazzling light was blazing from his forehead, ripping into the monster, tearing it apart molecule by molecule. No, thought Drake, horrified, realizing that Corval must have opened his third eye, the one thing he told Drake he must never do. It will destroy him. Drake tried to rise, to go to him, but he was too weak. His lungs were full of liquid. He fell back, spluttering and gasping. Corval kept walking, more determined with each step. More lines of fire sprayed from his head, crowning him with a blinding halo. While the first beam tore the monster apart, the others sliced into the undead guardsmen, transforming them into firebrands, engulfing them in colourless flame. There were hundreds of the guardsmen, and as they ignited, they raised their arms, mirroring Corval's agony. It looked like a holy vision, a host of damned souls sundered and cleansed by heavenly fire. With a jolt, Drake realized that it looked like a specific holy scene, the one painted on Taddeus's walls and books. There was a thunderclap as the monster and every one of the guardsmen detonated. Burnt meat and shattered chitin whistled through the air. The light vanished, and Corval crumpled into the mud. Drake crawled towards him, hauling himself over the mounds of blackened fungus. As he hauled himself up a sodden ridge, he saw the pale mountainous shape he'd glimpsed earlier. It was pierced by spars of black ore, skewered by the blackstone. The tearing sound grew louder. Drake howled. As he cried out, the blackstone wrenched its limbs free, ripping it apart, creating another volcanic bang, filling the air with spores and blubber. The garden began to collapse, toppling and tearing, revealing the cold, colourless walls of the blackstone. Drake stumbled over to Corval as the garden fell apart around him. The navigator was clearly dead, lying in a hideously unnatural position, half of his cranium replaced by a blackened mess. Drake took Corval's cold, lifeless hand, whispering something no one else would hear. And not to yield.